Well, good morning to all of you. It's good to see all of your smiling faces here this morning. I greet you all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. The faithful in Christ Jesus. I've really been blessed being here this morning already. I appreciated what Brother Gary shared and also what Brother Dan shared. I believe it ties very well in with what I would like to share as well. The faithful in Christ Jesus. I'd like to turn to a scripture in opening here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Is Paul's salutation to the church at Ephesus there. And he says these words, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And in Colossians 1, verse 2, we read a similar salutation that Paul wrote as well to the church at Colossae. And it says this, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae. Who are these faithful in Christ Jesus? I'd like to talk about that today. Before we get into the message here, let's have a word of prayer and invite the Lord to be here with us. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, that we can gather in this way to seek you, to worship you, to hear from you, to be encouraged, to be edified. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for providing the great plan of salvation for us. We thank you for your word, and we just pray, Father, that you would be here with us today. Father, I pray that you would help me as I share your word to say the things you would like me to say and not mine own things. Father, we just pray that you would bless our assembly here and that you would teach all of us together from your word. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. The faithful in Christ Jesus. This word faithful, it's the Greek word pistos, and it simply means believing, confiding, and trusting in God's promises. It is one who is convinced that Jesus has been raised from the dead and is the Messiah and the author of salvation. It is also one that can be relied on, is trustworthy, consistent, true, and sure. And one that will be exact in attending to commands as a faithful servant. It's a very simple meaning. Believing, confiding, trusting in God's promises. Do you know, we live in a world that values success and talent and wealth. But when God looks down from heaven, he does not look for these things, but he looks for our dependability. And he does not require our perfection, but he requires us to be faithful. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, we read these words, Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And we have been entrusted as stewards, the mysteries of God, and it is required that we would be found faithful. And to the church at Smyrna, Jesus said in Revelations 2, verse 10, Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. That's a promise. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. To receive eternal life in heaven with Jesus, it is required that we are found faithful. To be faithful in Christ Jesus means to be steady, reliable, and completely dedicated to Him, regardless of our changing circumstances. It means anchoring our soul so deeply in the Savior that the storms of life cannot move us. We as faithful believers in Christ Jesus can persevere and be faithful until death and not fear whatever comes our way, because God is faithful. He promises to sustain us. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3, we found this verse: But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And also in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 24, Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And the Lord promised in Matthew 24, verse 13, that he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. We can also choose not to be faithful. 2 Timothy 2, verse 13 says, If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. That's talking about Christ Jesus. Christ will always be faithful. He cannot deny himself. But we can be unfaithful. We can choose to be unfaithful and believe not. But that will not change who God is. And this leads me to my next point here. How can we become and remain faithful? We cannot be faithful to Christ Jesus by our own strength. We cannot just decide to be faithful. But our faithfulness is a response to His supreme faithfulness toward us. You know, God's faithfulness or loyalty toward us never wavers. And our faithfulness is a response of His supreme faithfulness toward us. It is because of His faithfulness that we can be faithful. In Lamentations 3, verse 22, It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You know, faithfulness is who God is. Psalms 89 verse 8 says, O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Faithfulness is who God is. This verse says, or to thy faithfulness round about thee. It is all around the Lord. He is the faithfulness. It is who He is. It's His very essence. It's His nature. It's who the Lord is. And the psalmist says, O Lord of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? The Lord never changes. In Hebrews 13:8, very familiar verse, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus will never change. And also, He keeps us from evil. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3, But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. We're looking at the faithfulness of the Lord here. We're looking at these different traits. He keeps us from evil. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. He also sets limits on our temptations. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will within the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. We're talking about the Lord's faithfulness here. He also forgives us of our sin. In 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the faithfulness of the Lord. He sanctifies us. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. The Lord also brings us into the fellowship of his dear Son. 1 Corinthians 1:9, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. Let me back up a little bit. 1 Corinthians 1:9, he brings us into the fellowship of his dear Son. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God is faithful. That's the faithfulness of God. He called us unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the next one also, God is faithful to complete a good work in us. That's Philippians 1:6, very familiar verse as well. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So we see clearly that in order to endure to the end and spend eternity with Jesus, we need to be faithful to God's faithfulness. Do we truly believe in the faithfulness of God? Do we believe these things that we just read? How God, faithfulness is who God is. He never changes. He's the same. He keeps us from evil. He sets limits on our temptations. He forgives us of our sin. He sanctifies us. He brings us into the fellowship of his dear Son. He completes a good work in us. This is God's faithfulness. Do we believe these things? It is his word. Are we faithful to his faithfulness? Are we full of faith? Or faithful? Full of faith, however you want to word it. Do we believe these things of God? We can also choose not to believe the scripture that we read a little bit earlier. 2 Timothy 2:13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, because he cannot deny himself. That's Jesus. The Lord doesn't change. But if we are not faithful, he cannot complete a good work in us. Let's turn to Matthew 24. I'd like to read an account there. So if we are not faithful to his faithfulness, he cannot complete a good work in us. Matthew 24, starting in verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. If we are not faithful, the Lord cannot complete a good work in us. We need to be faithful to his faithfulness. This servant was unfaithful, and the end was not good. The question is, how do we become and remain faithful? We can learn from the faithfulness of God. You know, the opposite of faithful is to be ever-changing or wishy-washy, not solid, not same. In Psalms 119, verse 89, we read these words, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." We're talking about settled, not wishy-washy or ever-changing. "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth." The Lord has established the earth, and it abideth. It is unchanging. And here we see faithfulness is equated with God's word. It says, "Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth." So the word of the Lord and faithfulness are together here. It is a solid, unchanging, unmovable, fixed faithfulness. God speaks never-ending truth. What God says is true. It is fixed. If God spoke something 1,000 years ago, it still stands. He is faithful to His word, because His word is an expression of His character. And you know, we learn to trust the character of a person by getting to know that person. So we can learn faithfulness from God, from His faithfulness. We can learn to trust the character of God by getting to know Him. I have a little illustration. Brother Stephen, I'm going to pick on you this morning. So let's say, Brother Stephen, you are walking the street of Warsaw and you meet a young man there. We'll call him Sammy. Sammy off the street. And maybe you have 5 minutes of conversation with him. Would you entrust him to your bank account? No. All right. What if... would you entrust Brother David N. with your bank account? Why? Because you know him, but you don't know Sammy off the street. There's a difference. When we know someone, we trust them, right? But when we don't know someone, we have a hard time trusting them. So we learn to trust the character of a person by getting to know that person. We would never entrust our bank account to a stranger that we don't know. In the same way, before we know God, we are afraid to trust Him. We don't know who He is or what He may do. Right? But we learn to trust God by getting to know His character. And how do we do that? One is by studying His Word. When we study God's Word, we learn that God never changes and He never lies. And we learn through the Scriptures that God never fails. He was always true to His Word as He worked in the lives of the biblical characters like the Israelites and all of those. When He said He would do something, He did it. And we begin to build trust upon His proven character. We can trust that God will be true to Himself. He will never cease being sovereign, being holy, or being good. And we will learn to trust His faithful traits, as we discussed earlier here, these traits of the faithfulness of God. We will learn to trust those by studying the Lord and His Word. Another way to get to know God and His character is to consider His working in our lives. We learn through our own history that He has never failed us either. You know, one command that God often gave the Israelites was, remember, remember, remember. When they remembered all God had done for them, they could more easily trust Him for the future. We need to intentionally remember all the ways God has provided for us and delivered us in the past. And there's different ways we could do that. We could have a prayer journal or write books or just simply keep talking about those things that the Lord has done in our midst. But we need to intentionally remember all the ways that God has provided for us and delivered us in the past. When we recall the ways that God has answered our prayers, it equips us to continue asking and expecting answers. When we come to Him in prayer, we know that He always hears us, because Psalms 34:15 says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry." So we have that promise. The Lord is faithful, right? He will do that. He will always do what His Word says. So we know He will hear us when we cry out to Him. And He provides what we need. Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." That's His promise. Do we believe it? And He will always make everything work together for good when we trust Him with it. Romans 8:28, very familiar passage. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." That's His promise to us. We learn to trust God's future faithfulness by remembering His past faithfulness. Another way to get to trust God by getting to know His character is learning to follow His voice. And Brother Gary shared about that this morning already, listening to the Spirit of God prompting us. You know, we learn to trust Him by learning to distinguish His voice from other voices. There's lots of voices we can hear today. But we learn to trust God by learning how to distinguish His voice from other voices. Jesus said in John 10, verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." That's a promise. We who are faithful in Christ Jesus need to cultivate the ability to hear Him. He speaks primarily through His Word, but He can also speak through other people, through circumstances, and through the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:16 says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." God's Spirit prompts us. He tells us things. Like Brother Gary shared, He prompted the brother to go to the hospital, and he obeyed. As we carefully read and meditate upon Scripture, the Holy Spirit often quickens our hearts to a verse or a passage and helps us to claim it and apply it to our current situation. What the Spirit shows us in His Word is to be taken by faith as His message to us. And we build trust by claiming His promises and applying them to our lives. And you know, above all things, God wants us to demonstrate our life of faith by a life of obedience to Him. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." You know, faith is trusting in the character of God before we see how He is going to work things out. We trust Him because His Word says so. He has given us His Word, and His promises still stand. We know that He is faithful and He is unchanging. As we see the ways He brings His promises to fulfillment, our trust in His faithfulness grows. And just as our trust in other people grows with daily interaction, our trust in God grows the same way. If Brother Stephen spends more time with Sammy and he gets to know him, maybe eventually he'll entrust him to his bank account. But it would take a lot of time and getting to know him. And in the same way our trust in God grows, the same way with our daily interaction with him. We trust him when we know him, and to know him is to trust him. When we know him, we can rest in his goodness, even when we don't understand the circumstances that seem to contradict it. You know, we can trust that God's plan for us will prevail. Just as a child trusts a loving father, in the same way, we can trust our Heavenly Father to always do what is right. Proverbs 19:21 says these words, "There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand." When we walk consistently with God in humble service to him, we are called faithful. The faithful in Christ Jesus. God is looking for dependable and committed men and women. It seems evident that we grow in our faithfulness with time in serving the Lord. Our faithfulness grows. It takes time and serving the Lord. And we seem to grow in that. We get stronger in our faithfulness. Our faithfulness begins in the hidden places or in the quiet moments of our everyday life. And I was so blessed this morning with what Brother Gary and Brother Dan also shared of being faithful in these little things, being faithful in our divine appointments. How we handle a small task reveals our true character. You know, God tests our readiness for big assignments by seeing how well we handle small unseen tasks. And Brother Gary shared about Joseph, how that he was faithful in each one of those divine appointments. He was faithful in those what seemed like little ways. He was faithful in every step of the way. And God used him in a big, mighty way. The same with Moses and Joseph and all of those. They were faithful in those little, small, unseen tasks. Maybe they weren't all unseen, but they were small tasks, seemingly small tasks. And how we handle those small tasks reveals our true character. That is the Lord preparing us for something bigger. David was an obscure shepherd boy, taking care of a few sheep before he was entrusted with the kingdom of Israel. And he became a man after God's own heart. Same with Moses. He also spent time as a shepherd before he was sent to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Hebrews chapter 3 talks about how Moses was faithful. True faithfulness is what you do when nobody is watching you but God. This is where the test comes in. You know, we can come to the prayer meeting and pray beautiful prayers, but how is it at home in our closet? I'm just speaking to myself here. Do we act differently when we are with the brothers and sisters than when we are at home? We can jump at the chance to go along to an international mission, but are we ministering to our neighbors and those around our communities and hometown? True faithfulness is what you do when nobody is watching you but God. I'm just speaking to myself here this morning. I've been convicted in some of these areas as I was studying for this. How faithful are we? Who are we faithful to? Maybe that should be the question. Who are we faithful to? Sometimes I wonder if we have this thing mixed up. You know, we strive to be faithful in front of the brethren, the church, and others. And we should. We should be. Because Jesus Christ is the head of the church. But are we truly faithful to Jesus Christ in the closet or when none of the brethren are present? God knows our heart. Are we faithful with the things that seem like little things in our lives? Who are we faithful to? Are we faithful to Jesus Christ? Are we faithful in these little things? I'd like to read from Luke 16 a couple verses here. It's talking about being faithful in little things and being prepared to be faithful in much. In Luke 16, verse 10, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the righteous, in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?" Are we faithful in the little things? Be faithful in your private prayers. Be faithful and honest in your business dealings and how you treat your family. God marks those smaller victories. In actuality, they are of equal importance because they are our test to prepare us for bigger things. Brother Dan shared with the children how important we are, even though their bigger brothers and sisters are going to Alaska and different things like that. But yet, we are all important in what seems like the little things that we are engaged in right now. They're of equal importance to the big things because they are preparing us for the big victories. So never think for a moment that what seems like the little things that we're being faithful to are insignificant. Are we faithful in our closet, in our prayers? Are we faithful in our business dealings? Are we faithful to our family at home? Whatever it might be, the things that seem small or less significant, they really aren't, because they are preparing us to be faithful in bigger things. I just really appreciated the opening and the children's lesson. It just very well tied in here. Your brothers shared about the divine appointments and those little things as we go through life, little encounters. Are we faithful in those things? Are we faithful to Christ Jesus, or are we just faithful to others? What is true faithfulness? Being truly faithful in Christ Jesus is not based on a feeling. It is a choice to remain anchored in Christ even when the going gets tough and our emotions run dry. Think of Noah and the long time it took to build the ark, and all the scoffing and mockery that he endured, and all this while with no rain. Yet he was faithful and obeyed God because he knew God's character of faithfulness. He knew God. He knew his character of faithfulness, and he knew that what God said was true. It was going to rain. And we need to build this ark, and he obeyed. I'm sure it didn't all feel good. I'm sure there were mornings he got up and he thought, I wonder if I'm a little crazy. Like Brother Gary shared about the brother that paced the hospital for an hour before he found the man he was to meet with. We probably all have those thoughts. So being truly faithful is not based on our feeling. It's a choice that we make to remain anchored in Christ, even when the going gets tough or our emotions run dry. Galatians 6:9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Being truly faithful in Christ Jesus may very likely bring suffering and reproach. 1 Peter 4. I'm going to turn there and read a couple verses. 12. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory in God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them be that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." That, brothers and sisters, is being truly faithful in Christ Jesus. When we suffer for Jesus, and we commit the keeping of our souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. He is the faithful Creator, right? He established the... You go back to that other verse that I read in Psalms. Well, now I'm not quite sure where it was, but I thought it was that he established the earth, but it is settled. He is the faithful Creator. The true test of faithfulness is time and trials. You know, it is easy to serve God when everything goes well, but true faithfulness shines brightest in the dark, when the times are hard. Matthew 25, I'd like to read an account there. We're talking about faithfulness, being faithful. Starting in verse 14. And I may just paraphrase this passage a little bit. Talks here about the kingdom of heaven is like a man that traveled into a far country, and he called his own servants, and he gave to them his goods. And then he gave them talents. And we could call that talents, abilities, money, whatever you'd want to call that. But he gave to the one five, and to the other he gave two, and to one of them he gave one. It says that he gave every man according to his several ability. And then he took his journey. So he gave to these servants talents, abilities, money, whatever it was. It could be different things, but he gave to them. And then he left on his journey. And then it says that the first one that received the five talents, he went and traded the same, and he made five more. And the next one that had gotten the two, he also went and gained two more. But the one that just received the one, in verse 18, says that he took it and he buried it in the earth. his Lord's money. And then in verse 19, after a long time, it says, the Lord of the servants cometh. He came back from his journey, and he reckons with them. And first, the one that he gave the 5 talents to, he came and he brought his other 5 and showed them to his Lord, saying, you gave me 5, and look, I have gained 5 more. And what did his Lord say? In verse 21, his Lord said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He was faithful with the 5 talents that his Lord gave him. But then the next one came that had the 2 talents. And he said, you gave me 2 talents, and look, I have gained 2 more. And what was the Lord's response to that? Again, his Lord said unto him in verse 23, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. You know, and it doesn't make the difference. The one had 5, the other had 2. They were faithful with what they were given. I'm sure the one had, maybe he had some thoughts, why do I just have 2, the other has 5? But that's totally beside the point. They were faithful with what they were given, and they gained more. And the response was the same from their Lord. But then the third one that he gave the 1 talent came. And he said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. I buried it in the earth. Here, you have what is yours. What was the Lord's answer? Verse 26, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. You should have done something with it. At least, at the very least, earned interest on it. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. Now, I'd like to back up there for a second. There's something I'd like to point out here. In verse 25, when the third servant brought that 1 talent, and he said to his Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, you reap where you haven't sown, and you gather where you haven't strawed, and I was afraid. He was afraid of his Lord. He didn't know him. When we don't, before we know God, we are also afraid of him. We don't trust him because we don't know who he is or what he might do. But this servant, he says clearly that he was afraid. He didn't know his master at all. If he would have known his master, he would have taken that 1 talent and made another one with it, right? And he would have been faithful. But he was afraid. He didn't know him at all. He didn't trust him. They didn't have a good relationship. And the response was, thou wicked and slothful servant. And then they took that talent from him and gave to the one that has 10. And then in verse 29, for unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And I believe there's another place in Luke where it talks about even that which he seemeth to have. Basically, he has nothing. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Because he was unfaithful. He didn't know his Lord, and he was unfaithful. Brothers and sisters, our time here on earth is short, but eternity is long. Forever, And one day, each of us here will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. On that day, the Lord will not be looking for your earthly accomplishments. He will be looking for the fruits of your loyalty and your faithfulness to Him. Will you hear those words? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, or the little things, or the insignificant things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Or will you hear those words, take what little he seemeth to have, and give it to him that hath more, and cast him into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Brothers and sisters, if you want to be found faithful on that day, it starts today by being faithful in the little things, the hidden things. Don't think for a moment that the Lord may delay his coming or that you will become faithful before he returns, because you are not promised the rest of this day. Psalms 90, verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Or the New Living Translation says, teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. Will we be found faithful in the little or what seem insignificant things in our lives? Will we be found faithful with the unseen things in our life? Who are we faithful to? Is it Christ Jesus or those around us? And we should be faithful to the brethren in the church, because Christ is the head of the church. But we need to be faithful to Christ Jesus. And we can only be faithful because he is faithful to us. It's because of his faithfulness that we even have the ability to be faithful. I just want to encourage all of us to be faithful in the little things. And as we are faithful in the little things, God will entrust us to be faithful in the bigger things. And we will spend eternity with the Lord if we are found faithful. God bless you all.